At this time, if you'd all rise, we'll offer a prayer before the main message. Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace. We come to you, Father, the only one that can give us eternal life. We bow our hearts and minds before your throne of grace, Father, and we humbly give ourselves to you. We know, Father, that you are the only one that can give us what we need. It's only through the shed blood of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, that we have an opportunity at life everlasting. Help us, Father, to accept the shed blood of Yahshua, to accept the Lamb of Yahweh as our sacrifice, as our sacrificial lamb. Help us, Father, to be faithful in all things. Help us to seek your face as we do our best, Father, to keep your commandments. We know that it's nothing we can do other than trying to be faithful, because even our righteousness are as filthy rags, Father. They cannot bring us to you. It is through your Son's shed blood that we have that opportunity. And we ask, Father, that we would not tread underfoot Yahshua's blood, but that we would be faithful in all things. We do love you, and we thank you. And we ask, Father, for forgiveness, because you are such a merciful, mighty one. And it's only through your grace that we have this opportunity. So we thank you, Father, for bringing us to this place to worship you this day. So, Father, we love you. And again, we thank you for all you've done for us. In Yahshua's holy name, we come before you asking all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. One of the other things that I failed to do, which is do the offering, but we'll do that as a part of the service, and I'll pray for it at the end. So what I'll do, Richard, if you don't mind, somewhere in here I have some envelopes. See, we don't do this often enough. We only do it on the high days, so you forget about it. I don't even think about it. But you can pass those out if anyone needs one. And because we don't traditionally do this on a regular, you know, don't feel... If you're not prepared, don't worry about it. We'll do something. You can do it later. Send it in or whatever. This is just what we do. I'm just trying to fulfill all righteousness, because on a high day we're supposed to take up an offering. We're not supposed to come before Yahweh empty, and I forgot about that part of it. The half shekel is due... Actually, you can pay it anytime during the feast. You can pay it even up to Pentecost, but we normally do it. It's $2.50. We normally do it this feast. Yeah. Yeah, the half shekel. No, it's just this time of year, but it's... What, the half shekel? You do it from this time up to, you know. I've entitled this message, The Bread of Heaven. I want to start in Matthew chapter 4. If you take your scriptures in hand, turn to Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, and the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of Yahweh, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh." And this is Yahshua responding to Satan the devil, the tempter. See? Satan is trying to make him doubt. He knew who he was, just like we each have to know who we are. in our relationship to Yahweh. Satan said, if you are the son of Yahweh. And he knew exactly who he was, who he is. Deuteronomy chapter 8. That's where this passage comes from. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 1, we'll start there. It says, every commandment which I command you this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land in which Yahweh swore to your fathers. Now, the land that we're seeking is the kingdom of Yahweh. It's different than the physical Israelites of old. They were seeking to be a part of that promised land. We seek to be a part of the first resurrection, the 144,000. We seek to be a part of that kingdom which is going to be set up, the thousand-year millennium that's going to be set up when Yahshua returns. See? And you shall remember all the way which Yahweh Elohim had led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, to prove you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Now, this is the thing, see? When they were brought to the door, they were able to go in. This is only an 11-day journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. But it took them 40 years because they had to go back. They had to turn and go in a different direction. And the reason they had to go in a different direction is because Yahweh performed miracles, miracle after miracle, and these people did not accept those miracles. And the reason they didn't accept the miracles is because of their carnal hearts. They were not trying to serve Yahweh completely. He had shown them the fire, okay? The cloud and the fire that traveled with them, which was Yahshua the Messiah. And they still rejected Yahweh. They questioned everything. We can't be that way, brother. We can't question Yahweh. And this is why they went back into the wilderness and died in their own sins. All of those people, okay? Remember I read last night, 600,000, okay? Men plus the mixed multitude and the women and children. We're talking about over 2.5 million people, all right? Who went into that promised land? The uncircumcised kids. They were the only ones that made it, other than Yahshua and Caleb. Now the 144,000 are going to be just like Yahshua and Caleb. They're going into that kingdom, but only those people. Who's going into the thousand-year millennium? Physical? Just the kids. It says two-thirds of the population of this earth are going to be destroyed during the tribulation. When Yahshua returns, the only adults that are going in are going to be the 144,000. That are left, those who are raised first, and the ones that are yet alive are going to meet Yahshua in air, and they're going to be there for that thousand-year millennium. Where are the rest of the people? They've perished. See? So those kids, those children, are going to be taught by the priests and kings in the kingdom. And that's what we want to be. That's where we have to be. This is why this, our playbook, this is our instruction book so that we would know what Yahweh requires of us, what he wants us to know. Because we have to teach these kids from China. We have to teach these kids from India. We have to teach these kids from all over the world who know not Yahweh. See, I read it last night. I'll do it again. Let's go back over to Exodus. Exodus chapter 9, verse 14. It says, for this time I will send all my plagues upon your heart. He's talking to Pharaoh, and on your servants and on your people. And see, the man of sin is going to be like Pharaoh. And this is what's going to happen to him. He says that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. There's only one living El, and that's Yahweh. He's the only one that can give us salvation. He's the only one that can deliver us. Deliverance only comes through Yahshua the Messiah and his shed blood. This is why it's so important that we accept that shed blood. See, it doesn't matter what your drug of choice is. It could be ego, okay? It can be prescription drugs. It could be illegal drugs. It could be alcohol. It could be anything that takes you away from Yahweh. And this is what you have to understand. I don't care what it is. People fall in love with their things, their cars, their houses. And, you know, we live in a land full of that. America is the most blessed land in the world. And all you have to do is do a little traveling, and you'll find it out. And I'm saying you can go down to, you don't even have to go to Cuba. You don't even have to go out to the United States. But what I'm saying is if you go to most third world countries, even Europe, you see how blessed they are. But you still have a lot of areas that are not like it is here. I mean, when I told them in Kenya that we don't have security fences around our homes, you know, because we're not worried about, you know, the people breaking in and stealing. Now, we do have thieves here, but what I'm saying is there's some people have security systems. Some people live in gated security communities. But for the most part, most people in this country don't. They live in a house. Some lock their doors. Some don't. I came from an area in South Carolina where I don't know of anybody that locked their doors. You could go over to so-and-so's house, cousin's or whatever, and walk right in. And it was not a big thing because that wasn't something people were worried about. See? But what we're talking about today is the bread of heaven. See, Yahweh has sent us his son, the bread of heaven, Yahshua the Messiah. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 8, I'll read this again. It says, every commandment which I command you this day shall you observe to do that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which Yahweh swore to your fathers. And you shall remember all the way which Yahweh your Elohim had led you these 40 years in the wilderness that he might humble you. That was the purpose, to humble the people because they were arrogant, because Yahweh came in and snatched them out of the number one country in the world. Egypt was a world ruler. People feared the Egyptians, but not Yahweh. But Yahweh wanted the people to fear him in a holy way, that he might humble you to prove you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And that's all Yahweh is asking us to do, brethren. He's asking us to keep his covenant, his commandments. I asked that question last night about the fourth commandment, and a few people knew it was the Sabbath. And that's why I asked Felix in Spanish, what is it? He said, Sabado. So every community, every nation knows what the Sabbath is because the Jews have never lost sight of keeping the Sabbath. That's the fourth commandment. We have to do it. We have to keep it. See? That's important. And that's what Yahweh is trying to get us to see. In verse 3 it says, and he humbled you and suffered you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you knew not. Neither did your fathers know, that he might make you to know that man does not live by bread only, but by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh does man live. That's what Yahweh wants us to understand. By everything that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh does man live. Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16, starting in verse 1. And they took their journey from Elim. And all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, if only we had died by the hand of Yahweh in the land of Egypt. How sad is this? He's already delivered them from the Egyptians, from their bondage, And I told you last night, Egypt is synonymous with sin. So he's delivered us from that same bondage. He's taken us out of sin. All we have to do is accept that and not murmur against Yahweh, as the children of Israel did. They were so worried. They murmured against Moses. They were murmuring against Yahweh. Moses was just the leader, him and Aaron. When we sat by the flesh pots, when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. Oh, boy. Think of what Yahweh is thinking when he heard this. In verse 4 it says, then said Yahweh to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my ways or not, walk in my law or not. And it shall come to pass on the sixth day that they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Yahweh was preparing them for the Sabbath. He wanted them to go out on Friday and gather twice as much so they can prepare for the next day, see? Because he wanted them to keep that fourth commandment, okay? And Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, in the evening you shall know that Yahweh has brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of Yahweh, because he hears your murmurings against Yahweh. And what are we that you murmur against us? This is Moses talking about him and Aaron. And Moses said, this shall be when Yahweh shall give you flesh to eat in the evening and bread to the full in the morning, because Yahweh hears your murmuring, which you murmur against him. What are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against Yahweh. And Moses said to Aaron, say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come before Yahweh, for he has heard your murmuring. And it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of Yahweh appeared in the cloud. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, in the evening you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am Yahweh your Elohim. Now, how many of us have gone hungry? Very few people in America have gone hungry. If you don't have money, if you don't have a job, you can get food stamps. You know, the food here is plentiful in this country. This is a land of food, a land of plenty. Kenya's like that in Africa. Anywhere you go, you can see they got a lot of crops. They're providing a lot of food, but you have a lot of poor. And that's something we don't understand. We have poor people, but it's all relative. The poor here are rich compared to the people in the third world country. Now, it's all about attitude. If you think about this, it's about your attitude. See, we are complaining about our wants, not our needs. We have plenty. Yet we walk around like we don't have anything. And we have plenty. See, we haven't known poverty. We don't really know it. People who are on a poverty level here, they say make less than, I think it's a family of four, $22,000 is a lot of money in Kenya. I'm telling you, it's a lot of money. One of our dollars equals, when we left, it was about 80, I think it was 80 shillings, Kenya shillings. And the average worker there gets about a dollar and a half U.S. a day, and they live on that, okay? I understand it's relative, but what I'm saying is there are people over there that are paying 30,000 shillings a month for an apartment, okay? So they're making money. There are people over there making money. Yet, it is relative, but the whole thing is this. It's based on your attitude, because the people who are poor seem to be the most blessed. They're the ones who are most thankful. That's where I'm going. I'm not talking about them not having anything, you know, as far as wealth, because their wealth is spiritual. See? They pray for us in America. They pray for us. Not that we can continue to send money over there, but that we are blessed of Yahweh, that we get it. And that's what we need to do. We need to get it. And very few people here seem to get it. They don't understand what true riches are. And our true riches are our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And that's what I'm talking about. When I started this and I was talking in the announcements that Yahweh commands us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I even mentioned it last night. I think it's Hagee. He, in his ministry, Pastor Hagee always starts with a prayer for Israel. See, because he knows his blessings and his people's blessings are tied to just that. See? But we have to be those people. Israel are those who rule with El, the overcomers, and that's who we have to be. We have to overcome this life. See, because when we go through this tribulation, which is a time no one has seen before, it's going to be the worst time ever on this planet. When we go through that, we're going to know some poverty. We're going to know some things that we didn't know before, and we're going to have to trust in Yahweh. And this is where the bread of heaven comes in. If we trust Yahweh, he's going to provide the things that we have need of on a daily basis like he did for Israel. He will rain that bread from heaven for us. He will grant us the food that we need. See, one of the things that we were always taught, even in our former affiliation, this is where we learned it, but keeping the sabbatical, we keep all the Sabbaths. Not only the weekly Sabbaths, we're keeping a high Sabbath today. We're going to keep the last high Sabbath, which is going to be next Friday. But we're going to keep the sabbatical year when it comes as well, because Yahweh tells us to do it. And there's a reason for it. During the days of Hezekiah, okay, and during the days of some of the other kings of Israel, when they kept the sabbatical, they had a food store. They had food that they could withstand the siege, because some of those sieges took years. You understand? So they were prepared. They had food. They weren't worried about, you know, if the Assyrians or Babylonians or whoever it was came against them, Egyptians or whatever country it was, could take them out, because they had food and water. They were prepared because they had prepared and kept Yahweh's commandments. Now, the Jews went into Babylonian captivity because they didn't keep the Sabbath on a consistent basis, the sabbatical year. And they went in for 70 years. Israel went in for a lot longer. As a matter of fact, a lot of them haven't come back yet. Most of them haven't come back yet. But they're coming back now. They're starting to come back. And this is the reason that we're here. This ministry is doing their thing throughout the world, because there's so many people looking for Yahweh. There's so many people being drawn back to Yahweh because they don't even know who they are. Israel has lost their identity because they stopped keeping the Sabbath. Whereas though the Jews still keep the seventh day, see? And that's an identifying factor. What is the Sabbath? I'm going to read it to you. And keep your finger in Exodus 16. We're not finished there. But turn over to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31, verse 12. It says, and Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, you must keep my Sabbaths, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generation, that you may know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies you. That term sanctify means set apart for a holy purpose. Yahweh is the one that's setting you apart for a holy purpose. Okay? Therefore, you shall keep the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who desecrates it shall surely be put to death, for whoever does any work in it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to Yahweh. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. A perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. What does forever mean, Nyla?
It means not ever going to be done.
Right, right. It's forever. Time out of mind. For in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Now go back to Exodus chapter 16. The whole congregation had murmured against Aaron and Moses. In verse 10 it says, "And it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of Yahweh appeared in the cloud. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, in the evening you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am Yahweh your Elohim." How would you react to hearing the voice of Yahweh speaking from a cloud or from the burning bush, the what Moses saw? How would you react? Would you fear? You know, you think about our relationship with Yahweh. We have to have that personal relationship that we don't fear Yahweh, see? Because Yahweh loves us, even while yet we were sinners. And he sent his son to die for each and every one of us. And this is why it's so important that we accept that sacrifice. See? That's so important that we accept it. In verse 13, and it came to pass at evening that the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay around the camp. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, a small round thing, small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they knew not what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread which Yahweh has given you to eat. This is the thing which Yahweh has commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, and omer a head. According to the number of your persons shall you take it, every man for them that are in his tent." And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they measured it, it was an omer. Measured it with an omer. He that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said to them, "Let no man leave it until the morning." However, they listened to Moses, but some of them kept part of it until the morning, and it bred worms, because they were trying to be greedy. See, this is the problem with people. They won't do what Yahweh tells them to do exactly. They're going to try to outfox him. They're going to try to outthink him. He knows what he's doing, brethren. He gives us exactly what we have need of. And he says, if you take too much, what's going to happen? It breeds worms. You're not even going to be able to use it. And it became foul, and Moses was angry with them. And they gathered in verse 21, it morning by morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun grew hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day, so that's another thing they had to do. They had to get up early. Because when the sun came out, it melted. So if you slept late, guess what? You didn't eat. Unless somebody felt sorry for you and shared theirs. But see, this is the thing about people. We all have these different traits. Okay? Some of us are go-getters. We'll get up and work all the time. Workaholics, you might say. But we have to find that fine balance. We have to find that balance because Yahweh wants us to serve him. That's why we keep the Sabbath. He asked for one day out of the week, and that's what we give him. See? You think about it. We got 6 days to do everything we need to do, and it's not enough. It's not enough. Some people try to go full throttle all season, and guess what? They fail for it, whether it's their health or, you know, Yahweh just takes it away financially. You know, because we think we can outthink him, we can outfox him, but he gives us that bread of heaven on a daily basis. We have to acknowledge it, we have to accept it, and we have to show it in our lives. See, this is one of the things he's done for us. He's made us also very, very giving and caring people, right? Everybody here is a giving and caring person. So we're not worried about the blessings he gives us because we're willing to give to others. Because you're blessed and you're giving. That's something that it takes a while for people to understand, but when you tithe, it's something that he's shown me over the years. We've received the blessings, and, you know, I don't make a lot of money. There were times when I could have and did, but in the past, you think about it, Yahweh blesses his people according to their hearts, how they are giving. If you're willing to give, he'll bless you. He'll give it to you. But if you're greedy, just like these people who went out to get extra, what happens? It bred worms. It just, you know, goes in the other direction. You think about it. We have more than enough for ourselves, plus he gives us our cup and let it run over. We know that psalm, don't we, children?
Yes.
What psalm is it? You said yes. What psalm is it? 23, all right. And what does it say? We'll just do that part. It says, 23:5, you have prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And what's normally on that table? Food, right? That's what we have on the table. And he says, you have anointed my head with oil, my cup runs over. Yahweh gives us more than we ever need, brethren. All we have to do is recognize that. And we share it with others, and guess what? We receive more of a blessing. Back to Exodus, chapter 16, in verse 21, it said, and they gathered it morning by morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun grew hot, it melted. And it came to pass on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Now, you know what? We just went through a sabbatical, a third year tithe. The third year and the sixth year, we have to give a third year tithe, okay? For the widows and orphans, the sojourners, and the Levites. And people say, you know, the economy here in the United States was kind of tough. But I'm telling you, we had enough to give, and we helped a lot of people because Yahweh blessed us with even more. And I feel the 6 year is going to be that way. He's going to bless us with more because he knows in the seventh year is the sabbatical, when we cannot plant, when we cannot go out. Now, we don't live in an agrarian society like we used to when our parents were growing up. Huh? What? We're in the fourth year now. So we just finished the third year. This is the fourth. Next is the fifth, and then the sixth after that. So what we have to do is, you know, we have to look at those blessings that Yahweh has given us. We have to prepare, and we get ready, and we look out for those. And, you know, my wife, we talked about it, and she was saying we have excess third tithes. Can we help this person? Or, you know, it's for us in our community. We're supposed to help those in the community that live among you, which we did. We had excess. We sent some to Africa. But for the most part, we blessed some people, and they were very appreciative, you know, that they received these blessings. And it makes you feel good that you've had it to give. But if we didn't keep the commandments, we wouldn't be able to be doing that. But Yahweh made it such that we were able to do it because we were faithful in doing that. In verse 23 it says, and he said to them, this is what Yahweh has spoken. Tomorrow is a solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to Yahweh. Bake what you will bake, and boil what you will boil. And all that remains over, save it to be kept until the morning. And they saved it unto the morning as Moses commanded, and it did not become foul. Neither was there any worm in it. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to Yahweh. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days shall you gather it, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath. In it there shall be none. And it came to pass on the seventh day that there went out some of the people to gather, and they found none. And Yahweh said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? Because there are people who won't listen. There are people who still going to go out on that seventh day and say, I got to work overtime. I got to make this double time, or I got to make this time and a half. And guess what? They're not going to benefit. They're not going to be able to use that money. Something's going to break down. They'll have a problem in another area of their life. Furnace might go out in their house. Car go up. So that money that they thought that they were going to go ahead, they ended up going backward. See, Yahweh teaches us what to do. He wants us to keep his covenant. That's what we entered in when we took the Passover memorial. It's the covenant between us and Almighty Yahweh. In verse 29, see, because Yahweh has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Remain you every man in his place, that no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And this is how he taught them the Sabbath. And the house of Israel called the name of it manna. It was like coriander seed, white. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, this is the thing which Yahweh has commanded. Let an omer full be kept throughout your generations, that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna in it and place it before Yahweh to be kept throughout your generations, as Yahweh commanded Moses. So Aaron put it before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel ate manna 40 years. 40 years they ate this bread of heaven until they came to the borders of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is a tenth part of an ephah. Yahweh had them put this in the Ark of the Covenant. And that omer was there. You think about it. That's a miracle. That lasted and lasted. And it's probably still there in the Ark of the Covenant. Back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy 8 verse 4. This is while they were in the wilderness, the 40 years. It says, your raiment did not wear out on you, neither did your foot swell these 40 years. And you shall consider in your heart that as a man corrects his son, so Yahweh your Elohim corrects you. And you shall keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim to walk in his ways and to fear him. Why do we correct our children? Why do we, when we say correct them, why do we direct them in a certain way? You know, because we think as parents what's best, as far as our eyes can see, what is best for our family. And that's the direction we try to take them in. Not everybody, you know, can see correctly, but we try to base it on the scriptures. We try to base it on the word of Yahweh. But Yahweh is a loving, mighty one. And he has offered his son to each and every one of us for salvation. Think about that. In verse 7, for Yahweh your Elohim is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of waters, of fountains and springs flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you shall eat bread without scarceness. You shall not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you may dig copper. And you shall eat and be full. And you shall bless Yahweh Elohim for the good land which he has given you. See? We're supposed to return that blessing to Yahweh because he's given us these things. He's given us the things that we have need of. And I'm telling you, truly, most of us, and the reason I say most of us, I'm speaking of the adults, have been blessed in this country. A lot of us corrupt our blessings. And the reason we corrupt our blessings is because we sin against our own selves. We are the ones that will go out and take that drug of choice. Like I said earlier, it doesn't have to be actual drugs. It could be alcohol, which is a drug. But I'm speaking of it could be your ego. You know, it's so many things that take us away from Yahweh. We're the ones that are receiving this bread of heaven on a daily basis. All we have to do is accept, acknowledge what we receive, share the blessings with others, and move on to the kingdom. Because Yahweh has prepared a people. And all we have to do is step up. Think about it. All we got to do is step up. Verse 11, beware lest you forget Yahweh your Elohim and not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I command you this day, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and dwell in it, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will be lifted up and you forget Yahweh your Elohim. And that's what's happened to us in the United States of America. You think about it. This country started out as a really almighty fearing country. And now today, it's totally almost the opposite. There are still a lot of people who believe in the Almighty, but very few who believe in Almighty Yahweh. See, there's a difference. Egypt had many mighty ones. And what happened? Yahweh had the victory over every one of them to show them that they were worshiping idols. We can't worship idols. And I told you, that idol could be your car, your house. It could be your bank account. It could be whatever you place before Yahweh. And that's what we want. We want Yahweh to be our mighty one. We don't want anything between us and Yahweh. See? It says here in the end of 14, then your heart will be lifted up and you forget Yahweh your Elohim who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now he brought us from sin, which is a type of Egypt. That was our bondage, see? But Yahshua conquered that for us. He overcame death, see? He is our Passover lamb. As long as we accept Yahshua the Messiah, we're good. Because it's not our righteousness that's going to get us there. It's his blood that's shed that gets us there. Because our righteousness is as filthy rags. You think about it. You know, that was the problem with the Pharisee, okay? I tithe of everything I receive. But the poor sinner over there, see, I'm glad I'm not like that man. Who went down to his house sanctified or justified? It was that sinner. Because he bowed his heart and said, Father, forgive me, a sinner. See, the Pharisee was puffed up with his righteousness because he felt, you know, it's me. It's all me. You know, I'm doing this. But it's not. Yahshua did it. It was Yahshua who did it. See? It's nothing we have done. The only thing we're doing is choosing Yahshua. We're making the right choice. And people make wrong choices every day. But for us, we have to receive and choose that bread of heaven, Yahshua the Messiah, because that's the only way to salvation. In verse 15, it says, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, in which fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground, in which was no water, who brought forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might prove you to do you good at your latter end, unless you say in your heart, my power and my might of my hand has acquired this wealth. But you shall remember Yahweh your Elohim, for it is he that gives you the power to acquire wealth. It's nothing you do. It's Yahweh. He's the one that gives you that power, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as at this day. And it shall be, if you shall forget Yahweh, your Elohim, and walk after other Elohim and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish, as the nations that Yahweh makes to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not listen to the voice of Yahweh, your Elohim. Now I have a question for you today. Why did Yahweh choose Israel? Why did he choose Israel? Out of all the nations in the world, why did he choose Israel? Anybody know the answer? Ayanna, you know the answer? I just asked a question. You weren't paying attention. Why did Yahweh choose Israel? Nyla? Well, nobody knew him at that time, if you think about it. They didn't really know him, but that's a pretty good answer. He chose Israel because they were the least of all the peoples. And you remember what I read in Exodus 9:14. What was he trying to show Pharaoh? That he is the only true mighty one. He's the only true Elohim. He is the one. All of the other mighty ones of Egypt and the rest of the world are idols. Yahweh is the only true living Elohim. He's the only mighty one. And that's the reason he chose Israel. And he became their mighty one. Turn to John chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 22, John 6:22. On the next day, the multitude that stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there save one, and that Yahshua entered not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples went away alone. However, there came boats from Tiberias, near the place where they had ate the bread after the rabbi had given thanks. When the multitude therefore saw that Yahshua was not there, neither his disciples, they themselves got into the boat and came to Capernaum seeking Yahshua. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when came you here? Yahshua answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves, the bread, and were filled. Work not for the food which perishes, but for the food which remains to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. For him, the Father, even Yahweh, has sealed. They said, therefore, to him, what must we do that we may work the works of Elohim? Yahshua answered and said to them, this is the work of Elohim, that you believe on him whom he has sent. They said, therefore, to him, what then do you for a sign that we may see or believe you? What do you work? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat. Yahshua therefore said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses that gave you bread out of heaven, but my Father gives you true bread, the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of Elohim, the bread of heaven, is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. They said therefore to him, Rabbi, evermore give us this bread. They wanted it. They wanted that bread. See? They wanted what Yahshua was offering. But Yahshua knew that they were looking just for the physical bread, the majority of the people. Yahshua said to them, I am the bread of life. He that believes on me shall He that comes to me shall not hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me and yet believe not. All that which the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. For I am come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. See, he had a purpose. Yahshua came with a purpose. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of all that which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone that beholds the Son and believes on him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And this is what we want. We want to be raised up. We want to be a part of that kingdom to come. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14. 1 Corinthians 10, 14. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a communion of the blood of the Messiah? The bread which we break, is it not a communion of the body of Messiah? Seeing that we who are many are one bread, one body. For we all partake of the one bread, which we know is Yahshua the Messiah. That's why we kept the Passover memorial, to partake of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, have not they that eat the sacrifices communion with the altar? What say I then, that a thing sacrificed to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, or the nations sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons, and not to Yahweh. And I do not wish that you should have communion with demons. You cannot drink of the cup of Yahshua and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of Yahshua and the table of demons. Or do we provoke Yahshua to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? No, we're not. This is why we have to come with humility. This is why we have to partake of that bread of heaven. We have to be a part of Yahshua's community. Chapter 11. Verse 17. 1 Corinthians 11, 17. But in giving you this charge, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the assembly, I hear that divisions exist among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that they that are approved may be manifest among you. When you therefore assemble yourselves together, it is not possible to eat the Master's Supper. For in your eating, each one takes before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or do you despise the assemblies of Yahweh, the assembly of Yahweh, and put them to shame, which have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this I praise you not. For I receive of the Master that which I also delivered to you, that the sovereign Yahshua, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In like manner, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Master's death until he comes. Now, brethren, this is what the Yitzchor service is about. In the Jewish traditions, they celebrate when the person dies yearly. And this is what the Passover memorial is about. It's not something that we do every first Sunday or first Sabbath of the month or every Wednesday. This is something that's done once a year. And this is what the Passover memorial is about, that Yitzchor service. It says, verse 27, we call it the yard side, the Yitzchor service. Therefore, whoever shall eat the bread or drink the cup of Yahshua in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of Yahshua. But let a man prove himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eats and drinks judgment to himself if he discern not the body, if he's not careful how he's walking, how he's living. For this cause, many among you are weak and sickly, and not a few sleep. So many had died because they were taking the Passover in an unworthy manner. But in verse 31 it says, but if we discern ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by Yahweh, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If any man is hungry, let him eat at home, that your coming together may not be to judgment, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Almighty Yahweh has given us that bread of heaven, Yahshua the Messiah. Turn back to John chapter 6, verse 41. John 6:41. The Jews therefore murmured concerning him, just like they did in the wilderness. They murmured again, because he said, I am the bread which came down out of heaven. And they said, is not this Yahshua, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I am come down out of heaven? Yahshua answered and said to them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father that sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of Yahweh. Every one that has heard from the Father and has learned comes to me. Not that any man has seen the Father except he that is from Yahweh. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he that believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, that a man may eat of it and not die. See, and this is what we want, that bread of heaven. We want to partake of Yahshua, and this is what we do at the Passover. I am the living bread which came down out of heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And this is what we're seeking, brethren. Yes, and the bread which I will give is my flesh, for the life of the world. And Yahshua truly did that for each one of us. Turn to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis 18, we're going to start in verse 1. And Yahweh appeared unto him by the oaks of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood over against him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself to the earth and said, sir, if now I have found favor in your sight, pass not away, I pray you, from your servant. Let now a little water be brought to, and wash your feet, which is what we do at the Passover service. And rest yourselves under the tree, and I will bring a morsel of bread and strengthen your heart after that you shall pass on, because you have come to your servant. And they said, so do, as you have said. And Abraham hurried to his tent to Sarah and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal kneaded, and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and brought a calf tender and good, and gave it unto the servant. And he hurried to dress it, and he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they ate. So Abraham entertained angels unaware, and he fed them bread. In Genesis 19, verse 1, and the two angels came to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot saw them and rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth, and he said, "Behold, now my masters, turn aside, I pray you, into your servant's house, and stay all night and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your way." And they said, "No, but we will remain in the street all night." And he urged them strongly that they should turn into him, and they entered into his house. And he made them a feast of baked unleavened bread, and they ate. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both young and old, and all the people from every quarter. But you see, Abraham and Lot did the same thing. They entertained these angels, not knowing they were angels. And what do? They offered them bread to wash their feet, to make them feel like they were comfortable, and offered them sanctuary in their home. Back to John chapter 6. And we're going to start in verse 52. John 6, 52. The Jews therefore quarreled with one another, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Joshua therefore said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have not life in yourself." "He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is true meat indeed, and my blood is true drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he that eats me, he also shall live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven." This is Yahshua, the bread from heaven. "Not as the fathers ate and died, he that eats this bread shall live forever." And that's what we want, brethren. We want to live forever. "These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" But Yahshua, knowing in himself that his disciples murmured at this, said to them, "Does this cause you to stumble? Does this cause you to stumble? What then if you should behold the Son of Man ascending where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Yahshua knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who it was that should betray him. And he said, 'For this cause have I said to you that no man can come to me unless it is given to him of the Father.' Upon this, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." They fell away because of the saying. This is a hard saying. Yahshua therefore said therefore to the 12, "Would you also go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Teacher, to whom? Teacher, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and know that you are the Holy One of Yahweh." Yahshua answered them, "Did not I choose you the 12, and one of you is a devil?" Now he spoke of Judah, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. "Many have partaken of the Passover and have gone back, brethren, and they've lost their salvation. See, because they've tread underfoot the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. He is the bread of heaven. It's Yahshua who gives us life. As we eat that bread, we partake of his flesh and drink of his blood. We take this memorial once a year. Once a year. Yahweh feeds his people. Yahweh has fed his people with the bread of heaven. He has redeemed Israel, those who rule with El, the overcomers who are faithful to the blood of the Lamb. There was a song we used to sing about the bread of heaven. Feed me till I want no more. That bread of heaven is Yahshua the Messiah, brethren. He is the one that is leading us and guiding us and giving us the things that we have need of, that we would be a part of the soon coming kingdom. Now, before I offer a closing prayer, we're going to take the offering, which is something I neglected to do earlier. So if anyone needs another envelope, just let me know. And I'll play a song real quick, and we'll take the offering, and we'll have the closing prayer. There's one over there. Build your sovereign plan over generation. Okay. I don't have one of those things to take plastic, but you can write IOU and just mess with on my phone, right? What's that? Oh, okay. No, that's all right. Your father's daughter, right? Let it go forth from here to the nation. Let it go bring and fast in this place. As we gather to speak your praise. The word of the nation. Of your power, your people's victory. And don't make the song in the mind. Overcome our weakness. That we should step up and fight. Let your glory mold in this room. Let it go forth from here to the nation. Let your greatness rest in this place. As we gather to see the day. At this time, if you'd all stand, we'll have a closing prayer and prayer over the offering. Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace, ask for a blessing on this offering and this service. We ask, Father, as we offer ourselves to you willingly, that you would accept our offering, that you would accept your people who've chosen your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, the bread of heaven, as our Passover lamb. We thank you, Father, for sending your Son, for giving his life that he did not have to give. He chose to come down, Father, from the lofty heights of heaven and to become as a humble physical man. Father, we know that this life is hard and that each one of us is seeking your blessing to overcome this life, to be a part of your kingdom. Father, we seek to be a part of the kingdom to come through that bread of heaven, Yahshua the Messiah, who came and gave his life that we might have an opportunity in life everlasting. Forgive us again, Father, of all our sins. Bless those that have a petition before you on the prayer list. And, Father, heal those that need a healing and touch those that need a touch. And grant those, Father, that are asking for something specific for your honor and glory, Father. Give it to them because you told us you would give us the desires of our hearts. And, Father, we know that we want to be in your kingdom. And that's the desire that we have right now. So we thank you again for all you've done for us, for our life, health, and strength. In the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah.